The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hey, yo, what up? It's your boy, Sean Walker, Hood Walker, Curb Stomper, Wall Breaker, Booty Shaker, Goddamn Cyclone, Young Lion from the Hood, and 100% Space Trash representing KOE. That's what it stands for. Y'all best be watching, eat, sleep, suplex, retweet me. What do you mean there ain't no cameras? It's just a podcast? I ain't gonna be on film? All right, you know, whatever. Y'all got Google. Y'all can find this anyway. Get listening, y'all.
Quacko Adjie here for Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet. I am in the hood of Lindsay, and I am joined by the Curb Stomper, the Wall Breaker, Booty Shaker, Young Lion from the Hood, Goddamn Cyclone, 100% Space Trash. It's my homeboy, it's Sean Walker. How you doing, Sean?
It feels very good to hear that entire thing out loud. Yeah. Like, just, it really, it rolls off the tongue. It's wonderful. And it's wonderful to be back in the hood of Lindsay, obviously.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, we got to keep our lockdown here in Lindsay.
That is true. There is business, as I believe it's known, to be taken care of on a balmy Saturday afternoon.
Absolutely. Now, before we get into the main interview, just a bit of housekeeping. Wherever you're listening to this, make sure you're subscribed, whether that's on iTunes, Spotify, or all good Android podcasting sites.
All of them.
Get them subscribed on all of them, as Sean is saying right now. Give us a follow on Facebook and Twitter. We're at Suplex Retweet. Mm-hmm. Whilst you're there as well, make sure you follow Sean. He's on Facebook at Sean Walker Wrestler. Yep. And he's also on Twitter at I Killed Your Hero.
I did. Santa's dead.
Are you sorry about that?
Not even slightly. I was well paid.
I'm glad you said that like that.
I can't have remorse after giving me money. You know?
Exactly. Okay, homie Sean. So, you ready for the interview?
For sure, yes.
For sure, I love it. So, I'm going to start off with how we start all our interviews. And it goes back to a show we've done in the past on why we love wrestling. We got a lot of opinions from it. Mm-hmm. It was quite interesting. So, I'm interested to know, why do you love wrestling and where does your passion come from?
Well, I blame Stephen Hughes entirely. I absolutely blame Stephen Hughes. I mean, like a lot of people, started when I was, you know, young in primary school. This would be like the early 90s. So, Hulk Hogan, Ultimate Warrior, Undertaker, Bret Hart. Yeah. Coco Beware, of all people, you know.
Yeah.
People were just getting Sky TV and wrestling was one of the big things. So you've got a bunch of, like, you know, 7-8 year old boys. Of course, we were mad into, you know, pretending to wrestle people's back gardens and whatnot. And then I moved away and kind of moved away from it. And then around about high school, you know, the Attitude Era comes in. I think my grand got NTL cable or something. Mm-hmm. And suddenly there's like Raw or Heat or something. I'm like, oh, I remember this. And I got right back into it. And then you've got the whole Attitude Era, the invasion, all the rest of it. And then I went to uni and I discovered drinking and women and vaguely that order and kind of fell away from it. And then what got me back into it and it led to kind of led to training and becoming a wrestler, I guess, was Rab Florence did a series called Consolevania, which was kind of video games thing, and I love video games, have since I was about 4. So I was a fan of his, and he started doing Orin War and the Kelvin Brawl. And the Kelvin Brawl, obviously, like, one of the last events that was going to happen in the Kelvin Hall before they were going to turn it into storage or something. So obviously I went to see that, and, you know, a lot of very successful people, Wolfgang was on that show, Lionheart, Noam Dar. So I went to see that as my first ever wrestling show. Mm-hmm. And I went with Stephen Hughes, because I was in a band with him at the time, and we were starting to get back into it.
Nice.
And, you know, he said to me, oh, do you want to come to these ICW shows? And I was like, yeah. So I started going to those as a sort of social thing, and I really enjoyed them. And then Shuzi blessed and said, oh, there's this training school, The Source, I'm going to go to it. And I kind of casually said, ah, if you go, I'll go. Didn't expect him to actually do it. But he did. And I thought, well, I've said I would. So I bought my boots, I bought my knee pads. And just from the first session, I was absolutely hooked. It's difficult to put a finger on exactly what it is that made me think I love doing this, but from the first session, like, for 2 days, even though my legs hurt like buggery, like, I couldn't think of anything else about except the next session, and it just continued on from there, and kept going, met my wife.
Yeah.
The lovely Jayla Dark, who's... Hi, honey. What you don't see is I'm waving at the recorder as I say that, like she's trapped inside.
I'm sure she knows your notice and I'm sure she'll love that.
But still, you've got to do the shout-out. As a married man, it's got to be done.
Especially on Valentine's week.
That's it is Valentine's... I trained on Valentine's Day. I'm the worst husband ever. Oh, best wrestler, worst husband. But it just went on from there, and just part of it's like a performing element. You know, I've done drama classes in the past. I've done YouTube things, so I've got a knack for performing and speaking. I've done martial arts for years and years and years, mm-hmm. so there's a physical element that I enjoy. Part of me just likes falling over. Sometimes I like doing brutal fake
falling
fighting.
Falling over with purpose.
Yeah. Sometimes I like being an absolute clown and making people laugh. It's just that I don't want to be pretentious and say performance art element of it, but just there's a buzz that you get from wrestling, both in training and being an actual show, that nothing, very few things have matched. Like I've shouted swear words at like 5,000 people in Norway at a gaming event before. That's about as close as I've came to that kind of buzz.
Yeah.
It just, nothing compares to it at all.
Yeah.
And it's all Stephen Hughes' fault.
It's all his fault.
It's all his fault. Son of a... It's all his fault.
Well, you're still at it and you're doing really well and you're
still here.
You're going about in Scotland and everything, so clearly you can't hate him that much for
clearly,
it.
Clearly, I'll forgive him Monday.
I mean, we're going to touch on your martial arts that you're into, but you mentioned out there about drama and stuff, and
yeah.
that does kind of come across because you're character is really big. It's a big part of what you do, and
it's pretty obnoxious. Yeah.
And a lot of people love that character that you, and it's the, just how convincing you are with it. A lot of people even convince me in it.
Which is weird, because you can hear I sound like this.
But it works. I mean, it's always weird now hearing you as this voice went off. I was like, what's up, dog? But yeah, absolutely. Like, I absolutely love that response there. So now, the experience you've picked up from wrestling at Source Wrestling, Scottish Wrestling Alliance, Worldwide Wrestling League, Respect Pro Wrestling Shows, like, looking back at your debut, what advice would you give yourself now that you've picked up all that experience?
It's so weird. Whenever I watch matches back, and I do, there will be lots and lots of tiny little details, like, oh, you didn't go round that way, or oh, that kick was a little... There's lots of details.
Yeah.
I could look at my debut and cringe so hard that I go backwards through puberty and just, like, and just hate. But, you know, that all comes with... For anyone, that comes with time, work, and experience.
Yeah.
If I was to give myself one piece of advice for, like, my debut in the next few matches, just chill out and enjoy it. Like, obviously, you've got your first match in front of a crowd, and anybody who says they weren't nervous is probably lying.
Yeah.
Or an absolute freak of confidence in nature, and I hate them and their talent. But, no, just chill out more than anything else. Just take the moment and enjoy it. Like, you know, I debuted against Mr. Byers. He was an absolute gentleman. He pulled me through that match. He planned it with me. You know, he made sure I got things I wanted to do in there.
Yeah.
Mine was a little different because, you know, I had, like, the announcer and, like, the stripper trousers, which actually is, you know... has now. He wanted to borrow them for purposes I will not dwell on. They're his now and he can keep them.
Okay.
So it was more, you know, Mr. Byers to come out, turn his back, and like, stripper trousers away, waistcoat away, haha, secretly a wrestler. Dropkick, and then did nefarious things and hit him with a microphone because he had it coming. So it was a little different.
Yeah.
But obviously there was kind of nerves, and you know, for a lot of people, your debut feels like your WrestleMania, like nothing will ever be the same again. And looking back, like, just chill, just take the moment, enjoy it.
Yeah.
You've worked hard enough to debut in front of a crowd. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Not everyone gets to say they've done that. And just, you know, take a breath, chill, and enjoy it. And the same with, you know, before matches, I always get nervous. Who doesn't? But it's nice to be able to chill and just go, what I'm doing is really cool.
Yeah.
I am putting on a show in front of people who paid and may or may not be enjoying it. You know, I'm dressed up in latex. That's another job entirely. Like, I'm dressed up in spandex, you know. I'm pretending to be an American
Sean Walker after dark, press the red button now.
I don't have your credit card ready. I ain't doing that for free.
I mean,
wife's going to kill me. But yeah. I'd say, just chill, relax, enjoy it, because what you're doing is really cool and wonderful and intricate and difficult and daft at the same time.
Yeah.
just chill and enjoy it.
Absolutely. I've spoken to a lot of wrestlers that have said, just enjoy the moment, and nervousness comes, but it's good. It's as long as you're in control of the nervousness is good because it shows you care.
I used to have a saying when I was playing in bands, because before, you know, obviously I embraced the thug life and, you know, the rest of it.
Did you play?
Guitar, I've played bass, I've played drums, and I have screamed at a lot of people. Because it was very metal based, kind of between like alt metal and kind of metal corey, kind of hardcore metal. Like Killswitch Engage are one of my favorite bands of all time. You know?
Which is perfect for wrestling, yeah, absolutely.
It is, yeah. You know, sometimes in the house I will occasionally record the most generic new metal track I can just for my own amusement. But I always said, like, I'd maybe get a bit of stage fright before going on and bandmates, and I'd just say, look, at the end of the day, we have to go out there. And we have to play half an hour's worth of music, and nothing can change that. So we may as well just not suck. Nothing can change that. My favourite one was actually a band that we formed in 6 weeks. It was called Saint Marta and the Suspicious Packages.
Nice.
A friend was leaving to go live in London, and she's like, I've never sang in a band. And we're at this house party. I'm like, let's form a band now! Booked a gig that night. We had 6 weeks to come up with half an hour's worth of music. And it was great, because there was no ego, no expectations. It was literally, have we written a song? Out of the way, we need to write another one. So there was no pressure to be good.
Yeah.
It was so much fun. I played drums, I was wearing a lion mask, someone was dressed up in Laser Quest outfits. It was great. The music sucked. The song...
But performance was there.
It was just fun and daft.
I mean, I like my gigs. That sounds like a good time, so why not?
I'm glad the crowd got the joke, because otherwise we'd all get stabbed.
Well, at least you're here now to tell the tale.
I lived.
And that kind of actually links into my next question.
Smooth.
Yeah, I like that. So, tell me the story of Sean Walker growing up. How did you survive the Projects of Lindsay?
I mean, it's a tough story. I mean, for those of you who may not be familiar with the Projects of Lindsay, if you've never survived a drive-by snidey look from a wealthy retired lady in Mercedes with like a can-I-speak-to-the-manager haircut, then frankly, you don't know the struggle. You just don't know what it's like. I mean, I think I moved into Lindsay. I've moved about a bit. Like, I was born in Rutherglen.
Right.
Yeah, Rutherglen Maternity Hospital, sadly, torn down and turned to an old folks' home right across my granny's flat.
Oh.
Well, she doesn't live there now, like, but back in the day. Moved to Fife for a bit. That was weird. Fife's a bit of an open-air lunatic asylum, to be honest. kind of a... But Aberdour was nice. Picturesque. It's got a castle and two beaches. It's a lovely place to grow up when you're little.
Yeah.
Moved to Lindsay around about 94, maybe?
Yeah.
Somewhere around then. So Beachmont Road is my original hood. Had beef with the neighbours, obviously. It was a kind of an upstairs and a downstairs thing. They didn't appreciate having two kids running around upstairs.
No.
The thing is, it was a big old Victorian house, so the broom they were using to thump the ceiling must have been unreasonably long.
Yeah.
Like, impractical.
It would proper do some damage, that.
Yeah, and me and my brother, we're nerdy-ass children.
Mm-hmm.
We sat and played Sega Master System all day. We didn't really do much. We had a garden we could run about, so... That was the start of my first beef in the hood of Lindsay.
Mm-hmm.
Then we moved up to Kirky Road, and actually I had nothing to complain about. It was really, really nice. you know, went to Lindsay Academy growing up, which of course is a shark pit, as you well know.
I don't know.
Listeners may not know, we were actually at school at the same school at the same time.
Yes, we were.
Didn't know you back then. You think you were a few years younger than I was, and then you turn up at wrestling show, I'm like... Like that Spider-Man meme of just
pointing at each other. Exactly. Like,
it's you.
It's you.
you know, your brother was like the year above me as well.
Yeah.
So.
So we somehow know each other's family. We know the struggles.
We know the struggle. We never had personal beef.
No.
Obviously,
never.
Different sides of, you know, the railway line, I think, is where the beef generally tends to extend. It's kind of our version of 8 Mile is the Lindsay to.
But we respected each other, so we made sure we didn't.
There was a mutual respect there. There was no, you know, shootouts in Lindsay. Because I can't even joke about that. No, Lindsay, it was a really nice place to grow up, actually. Yeah. I really can't complain at all, but it shaped me into the gangster you know today. If I get noticed like the Ryan Reynolds of wrestling after this, I'll be so happy. It's pretty much the aim.
Oh, that's just brilliant. Yeah, so if you're listening to this and you've never been to Lindsay, now you know the struggles we went through too.
Yeah.
And it's testament that you're here and you're here to tell the tale. So.
Yep. You know, 50 Cent only gets shot 9 times. Like, never. I got shot at least 12.
Yeah.
With BB guns.
There you go.
And snidey looks.
There you go.
Off Mercedes driving.
That just shows you how tough you are now.
Exactly.
Now that you can use what you've learned from the Hood and the project.
And bring it into the world of pro wrestling.
Exactly.
Exactly that.
Exactly.
Lindsay doesn't even have high flats. I don't think he even has flats, let alone high flats.
No, it's mad.
A lot of semi-detached.
Yeah, it's mad. Well, I'm going to move on now. So a big part of your wrestling style is your striking, mm-hmm. particularly your variations of leg kicks.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do outside that kind of influences that?
I've done karate for a number of years. In fact, when I first moved to Lindsay, we'd moved into the Beachfront Road, we did up the house and all the rest of it, and went on holiday to France. And one of the first people we met there was my karate instructor to this day, a lovely woman called Pauline. And we just, you know, you go on holiday and you kind of sixth sense find the first Scottish people you can find.
Yeah.
So you can all hang out and get, you know, wasted. And it turns out Pauline was from Bishop Briggs, just up the road.
Nice.
I'm like, oh God, you're from the same area. We've just moved to Lindsay, blah, blah. And she ran a karate class. And I was, you know, I always had an interest in it. I'd done a little bit of karate when I lived back in Fife, but not a huge amount.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hell yeah, the minute I get back and the school holidays are over. And, you know, there's been some breaks in between. Either I've got injured or I've worked in Edinburgh or I went to uni. But yeah. I've basically done it karate in some way or form since I was in primary school. And it's coming into wrestling. There's a weird knocking on the wall. So either your neighbours are very angry at me or you've got a poltergeist.
This is Lindsay.
This is Lindsay.
This is exactly what you're
talking
about.
Can't even do a podcast without someone having beef.
Yeah. You know, it's mad.
No.
Forget y'all. Anyway. Back to your story.
Forget the haters. Wall haters. So yeah, karate was the big influence on, obviously you bring in different experiences, both physically and, you know, from people's backgrounds and stuff, but karate has always been a big part of my life, and that has definitely influenced mm-hmm. what I do in the ring, because it's something I'm physically comfortable with in terms of throwing kicks, you know, throwing them with an element of control, because mm-hmm. I don't actually want to kill people. That'd be really inconvenient. There'd be a lot of paperwork. Who has time for that? And, you know, just, I do want to keep people safe. I don't want to have people wrestle me and go, oh, Jesus Christ, that son of a, you know.
Yeah.
But also making it, you know, I've got a certain amount of form to my kicks, knees, punches, elbows. So it makes sense to bring that in. And it's just been years of ridiculous patience on Pauline's part and putting up with my kind of bullshit.
Because even your signature finisher move is Mama said knock you out.
That's right.
And it's back
reverse roundhouse kick, I would say.
That's a little way.
Reverse Mawashigeri is, if I was to give it the Japanese name, but
nice.
Spinning reverse roundhouse kick or back roundhouse kick, there's various names, but basically I scud people in the head and I spin at the same time.
But it's the technique you have behind it, you can tell.
It was one of my favourite kicks growing up, actually.
Yeah.
Both the roundhouse, like Trish Stratus chick kick, the roundhouse and the spinning variant.
Mm-hmm.
As a kid, those were the ones that just, some kicks are just really physically satisfying to do, especially when you get them right.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if you ever heard Billy Connolly, like when he says, it's one of his longer sketches, but when you play golf mm-hmm. and you get it perfect, it makes that click sound. It just feels right.
Mm-hmm.
For me, for a good roundhouse kick, forward or reverse, when it feels right, there's something very physically satisfying about it.
Yeah.
Same as if you got a really good gear change in the car, you think, oh yeah, I did really good. You know, with obviously one hand sitting in the, you know.
Yeah.
Because they see me
lean
rolling.
Back.
Yeah.
Cruising down the hood.
And they see me rolling, they hate, but my car's a piece of crap, so it's actually fair. I hate my car as well.
But you've managed to put some big rims on it, so that's all that matters.
A Vauxhall Corsa with rims, that's the most Lindsay thing I've heard in my life. I even bought it in Lindsay, again, off someone I went to school with. 10 years ago.
Yeah, but I'm sure you had to make sure that the guy wasn't doing a proper hustle on you.
Oh no, he had to be straight up legit the whole time. I had him on lock.
Yeah, I had him on lock.
He's a nice guy too, I haven't seen him in years.
Well, maybe after this interview you go and see him and see, sort him out. Deals.
You know, that car owes me nothing.
Right, deal. So I'm going to move on slightly.
Cool.
Recently, you've started tagging with the, and I need to introduce them, right, mm-hmm. With the Source Tag Team Champions, KOE.
Yep.
They are the Source Champions, Source Tag Team Champions, I mm-hmm. should say. You formed the trio Thug Life with them. How did that all come about?
I think Whippy just found it funny.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I think it was a trios match we were doing in a showcase, and, you know, or kind of characters are quite similar. Them boys got a lot of swag.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Oh, they got their swag.
They got their swag down. And the character I was doing was just forming. Like, it was getting there, but it wasn't quite. That actually, the first kind of trios match that we had in that showcase against, you know, Kieran Kelly, Craig Anthony, and Scott McManus.
Yeah.
was a big part of me kind of taking it from just being loud and obnoxious, but seeing them and teaming with them, thinking, right, I need to add a bit of a kind of hip hop kind of thing, and it sort of mentally unlocked something that made me think, okay, maybe I can go with this. So that match was actually a big part in it. I think part of it was also, you know, they're both super talented and super creative. Like, I can't say enough good things about how creative the pair of them are in terms of how they put their matches together. They're always thinking of different things they can do in a match, different tag things they can do. Like, God, the mind these two people have for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just good at shouting. Those two are ridiculously talented. Mm-hmm. Like, again, I really can't say enough good things about them, and it's brought, I think, some better wrestling out of me partnering with them as well, just thinking, I gotta step my game up as well.
Good.
But, you know, for a trio, you go, okay, you get them being as athletic and sickeningly talented as they are, me being a loud kind of gobshite at the time and just, you know, bringing myself up as well to kind of match. And it just worked kind of well. And then from there on, my kind of character got more and more hip hop, and then the accent came in and all the rest of it. And it just gelled
together. Yeah.
And like, working with them is so much fun as well.
Yeah.
They've both got really great sense of humor. Like, the whiteboard wasn't me, that was them.
Mm.
Bringing out the whiteboard, and then I can go, oh, I can draw the Wu-Tang symbol in that, because amongst the things I doodled on my school jotters, the Wu-Tang symbol was one of them.
Was one of them.
Oh, I had a PS1 game. It was a classic, man. Wu-Tang Taste of Pain, or Shall One Tell If You Lived in the US.
They were, I mean, just those two, they're absolutely fantastic characters. They still watch High Five me, though.
Hmm.
I mean, you give me the fist bump, you give me the...
I'm going to get them told, you know.
You give me the full-blown respect of it.
They got to show love in the right places, man.
They would still want to shake hands, even though they know I'm down with them.
I'm going to get them told.
Please, I mean, I don't know if they'll work, but let's see.
Oh, it'll work. Respect is going to be shown.
Yes, I like that. I just loved that Source tournament when they came out with the Source belt.
Oh, so funny. And again, that's them. They're underrated in terms of just how funny they are.
I know. They're probably good. And then back up in the ring as well, just like yourself.
They're spectacular. Mm-hmm. God, they're going to go far. Me, I'm 34. I'm a pensioner now, but like, they got their future ahead of them.
Well, so speaking of which, to you, what does KOE stand for?
Oh God, what doesn't it stand for? I mean, obviously hustle, loyalty, and respect.
Yeah.
There's a reference. You know, not giving up. God, kicking people in the face, there's a lot of that. Kicking people at the face, three people at the same time, that's definitely in the bylaws of KOE. We've brought this up at committee, we have an AGM.
Okay.
Kind of monthly meetings also, just to discuss what KOE stands for, to make sure it's in a written constitution.
Nice.
We have bylaws, a treasurer, a secretary, and the chairman. Those roles obviously rotate, just to avoid any kind of abuse of power.
Okay.
Now, KOE stands for no one man is KOE. You put the three of us together. Or the two of them together if I'm off doing something else. Because that's how that's gone.
Mm-hmm.
That's what KOE stands for. It stands for success. It stands for hustle, for graft, for kicking people in the face a lot. Especially kicking Kieran Kelly in the face. He has it coming.
Oh.
Screw that sickeningly talented boy. It stands for doing things that makes Alexander Darwin McCallum laugh uncontrollably.
I can tell you, I know he'll be looking forward to it. Let's just say he's voiced certain displeasures towards some of us at Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retreat.
He does have a beef, so to speak.
Yeah.
Understandable in some cases. I think one of your interviewers is missing at the moment.
Yeah, well, I saw the video. We are still looking for a new host of some shows, but even though I've interviewed Alexander Darwin McCarlin twice, I still watch what I say and do, even though I've...
You carry a shank in the silk, you know, just in case, like...
I'm still on guard.
I mean, I ain't judging, I would do the same.
Exactly. He was my Wrestler of the Year last year, and he's going to win the Square Goal this year as well.
He is definitely going to win the Square Goal, undoubtedly.
In fact, this will be out after the Square Goal, so we'll be talking about how Alexander...
How he won the Square Goal.
Exactly.
Source represent, boy.
Exactly. Now, you were talking about the successes of KOE, and that's very true, because you are on a bit of a win streak right now.
We're on a roll.
You're definitely on a roll, so whether that's you tagging as the trio or with Kai at like Lennox Town and stuff, so...
God, that was fun.
Yeah, so you're all complimenting each other. Now, on the back of that, have you guys got your sights set on the ICW King of Honors tournament with Thug Life?
Not officially. We'd love to do it. I'm sure. I can't speak for the other two, but I'm fairly sure if asked to do it. God, yeah. Christ, yeah, that looks like so much fun.
Yeah.
Anybody who says, I don't want to wrestle on a bigger platform, of course they bloody do.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it would be a lot of fun. We'd be down.
Yeah.
We'd be DTF, down to fight, of course.
I'm glad you clarified.
KOE's always... That's the best way to put it. KOE's always down.
Yeah.
Always down. Anybody want to go 3-on-3 with your famous KOE? Absolutely. Anytime.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime they want to have us. Because they've, you know, I've obviously not wrestled for ICW. My boys, you know, Kai Williams, King Killer, they've wrestled there already.
Mm-hmm.
Made quite the impact.
Oh, they did.
Vocally and otherwise, yeah. From what I hear. So
they don't shake my hand there either.
I'm going to get him told, man. I'm getting told. They've got to show respect in the right places. And this is, Lindsay's the place.
Yeah, it's the place.
You show respect when you get off that Sterling train. No, we would love to do it. We'd be down to do it, of course, 100%.
Well, there are murmurs that a lot of people do want that to happen, including Scottish Wrestling Network, who wrote an article about
their top. They did. It was very kind of them.
And you guys were at the top of the list as well.
God damn right. God damn right.
You've got big fans from Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet that want.
We're super grateful,
So, and there are so many people out there that want this to happen. So,
so I want it to happen as well. We grand.
Yeah. It's...
be a lot of fun.
It would be Thug Life if you
would
guys
be Thug Life.
ICW King of Honors. Let's do it.
Just worry that, you know, my American accented counterpart won't know what Honors is. Someone's going to have to explain it to him. That and the concept of a squad.
Just say King of Lots.
Just King of Team Gang. I don't know.
I'm now going to take you back to the Source Championship Tournament.
Oh, okay.
And I think you know what I'm
going
to ask.
I think we're going that way.
I'm going to go back to your very famous match with Sugar Dunkerton.
Mm-hmm.
He's already given us his side on how it all came about. But I would like to know from you, how did the whole concept of that match come about?
The man is a genius and a gentleman.
Yeah.
I learned so much from that match. He was really good with me, taking me through it. A lot of the ideas kind of came from him. Obviously, we had the six man first, and he didn't, obviously, it's not like he came in through the door going, "Where is that Sean Walker fellow? I hear he does the raps," you know. And we did our six man. He was, you know, instrumental in planning a lot of that as well. We really helped all of us out. Again, like, just to clarify, I cannot say enough good things about Sugar.
Yeah.
He's not just in terms of his wrestling, but in terms of how he is backstage. He's so giving and positive and knowledgeable. Any show, he's an absolute asset to have, and everybody should book him immediately.
Yeah.
But obviously not everyone, because then he'd never come back and wrestle me again. That'd be very sad. But
well, something he said, and like, I've taken this in a way that Sugar will say it. Something that he said is basically saying, "Invite me back because I want to wrestle you again."
Oh, it's... so, I can't think of a higher compliment. Yeah. I would wrestle him over and over again. It was so much fun. The famous video, shall we say, of me getting an education in both my heritage and pigmentation. I'll admit, I was, you know, there's a sensitive issue there. You know, racism is a thing, especially, you know, you've got the Tory party here, you've got Donald Trump over in America. Like, it's a sensitive thing,
yeah,
and it invades everything. I was definitely a bit nervous and a bit hesitant to kind of go full on racial dysmorphia. Is that the term? You know, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't nervous about it, but, you know, he was able to judge it, really pushed me, go, "No, this, you know, it works in the context of the match, it works in the context thing." He was comfortable enough with it. And for my kind of character, for his kind of character, you really got to go hard or go home.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you couldn't half ass it, really.
Yeah.
So, and I'm very glad, you know, I took his advice and I went for it, because, like, a lot of people, maybe they'll kind of go, "Oh, I did this thing and the crowd went wild." I'm always reluctant to, in case I'm over-exaggerating or it went better in my mind than it did.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw the video and I was like, "God, people really laughed at that. People got that. Some guy in the back stood up and applauded." I'm not sure what exactly he was applauding exactly. I really don't want to get into the detail of that.
Yeah.
And as I was doing it, you know, I'm thinking, right, he's going to come over and I got to pimp slap him. I'm thinking, they're still laughing. They haven't stopped. I guess I'll just stay here and be really, really upset for a while. Okay, they've quietened down. You know, pimp slap. Like, you know, it was one of those few times I'm like, "No, the reaction in my head is actually the same as what happened."
Yeah,
like, no. It was objectively like that.
It was so fun. It's probably funny.
And that's weird. That's the first time that I think the Sean Walker character, like that tournament, emerged fully formed.
Yeah.
Like, elements came in the trios match, the showcase that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And that made me think, all right, be bigger, bring in more hip-hop stuff.
Yeah.
And I had a match with Solar and Govan. And there was more hip-hop stuff, but, you know, it wasn't quite there yet. You know, I was like brushing off the shoulders, like, yeah, what? Mm-hmm. But I still had this accent.
Mm-hmm.
And I got some feedback, I think, from Paul Promotions going, even bigger, as big as you can make it, and just do a fake accent.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, all right. And then so that weekend, the six man and then the match with Shug was the first time that the Sean Walker felt as close to fully formed as you ever feel. Like the accent, the, you know, the basketball jersey, all the rest of it. That was like the birth of it. And I think if I was going to birth the character, I couldn't have asked for a better match and a better opponent to do it with.
That
really
just brought it.
It really
life,
did.
Yeah.
Like, it would have been fun anyway, but he was so giving with that. Like, so generous with his time and his knowledge and, you know, the rest of it. Like, any show would be lucky to have him. Like, there's a reason he's doing so well over in the UK.
Yeah.
There's an absolute reason. And, you know, it's undeniable.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, if he wants to come back and wrestle me, I'm never going to say no. God, yeah, we'll get dinner, you know. Well, buy him a drink, whatever he wants. You know?
No, well, that's the thing. Like, see, when we interviewed him and he was saying, for the sake of laughs, I'll do it, as long as the line is not crossed. And that line wasn't, it was not even near that.
Yeah.
That was just, the whole setup was just so funny.
It was.
And I think my favorite line was you at the bitter. Just when you said, oh my god, because we all thought, you've realised, but no, oh my god, I'm ginger.
That was an ad-lib, I didn't know I was going to say that. I just saw it and I thought, it was just a throwaway line, but it got this laugh, and I was like, oh my god.
It was perfect. It was perfect.
It was wonderful.
Now, I need to apologise because I did actually speak to Sugar Duncan to come and tell him that I was interviewing you. So he's actually submitted a question to you.
Okay.
First of all, he wants to know if you have been following his advice or do you need more education?
And that's a question of context.
if you need more of an education, he'll be willing to come back and give you that education. So the question is, have you learned or does he need to come back?
Both.
Okay.
If we're talking about, like I said, my heritage and pigmentation, I am well aware. Well aware of what I sound and look like, yes. But at the same time, if we're talking wrestling, I will always happily sit under that learning tree. If he wants to come back and teach me more wrestling, you know, anything at all, wrestle me and learn from that, take a seminar, anything from that, Christ, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh God, yes. Anytime, he'd be welcomed with open arms and hands and starry anime eyes and you know, everything. Like, so it's, if you take it as a question of context, both yes and no. Would I be happy to learn from him? God, yes. Does he, you know, need to teach me a lesson, like pistol whip me or something? Please no. It sounds like it would hurt. I don't want to do that.
Because what I took from that, that's all I'm saying, what I took from that is that he would love to wrestle you again.
I would love to as well. Like,
so
God, the man's a genius and a gentleman and a professional.
Who knows, Sugar Dunkerton, Sean Walker too.
Round two. Yeah. Anytime.
Make it best out of three, best out of seven, we would take it.
Best out of 12. As long as he wants to keep
going. Yeah. Absolutely. We'll take that. Now,
head up every bar in Glasgow.
Now on to my next question. Are there any plans for you to chase the Source Championship?
Well, I think anybody who says they don't want to chase the championship is lying. At the moment, obviously, we're doing the trio stuff. Very focused on that. More than anything, I'm just focused on having fun.
Yeah.
I like to consider myself the Intergalactic Planetary Pimpweight Championship, and I will at some point have to make a belt for that. You know.
There we go.
I was going to make it over like Christmas, but then I went to New York, and that somehow took up a bunch of time.
Yeah.
God, New York.
I had to hold down the hood for you did.
You need to check it. You've been to New York?
Never.
It's like Glasgow, but like bigger and with like stuff to do and actual possibilities.
Oh, wow. Okay.
No, God, it's like, the way I've thought about it, I've been to London. And I've never got a nice vibe off the place. People don't care about you, but they need to, they're like, you need to know how much I don't care about you.
Right.
Been to Paris, same vibe. New York's a city people actually live and work in. They don't care about you because they're just getting on with stuff. It feels just like Glasgow, but like with pancakes anytime I want to get them.
Nice.
So yeah, slight tangent. I'm going to recommend New York. What was the question?
So it's just like chasing your
The title?
Yes.
I would love to. I mean, at the moment, you know, I got my boys in KOE, we're holding it down, we're chasing that trio's goal for show. We're keeping hold of those Source Tag belts.
So you apply the Freebird rule, so you're Source Tag champ, do you apply that?
Don't know if it's ever happened yet. Maybe
you should bring that to the next KOE
meeting. Put that in the AGM, see if we can have a Freebirds maybe not a rule, but a bylaw, you know, like section 3.11, we are going to institute the Freebird rule as long as there are three or more people who know what KOE stands for and are down.
Good.
But again, we will need to obviously put that through committee and have it written into the bylaws before it can become official KOE policy.
Okay. But I hope it does.
I hope it does as well. I want to carry that around with me.
That's a wee message for your carrying king.
Get it down. Next meeting. Bring a pen. My laptop battery's going down, so like.
Now, on to our next question. A big way, like we've talked about your character and stuff.
Yeah.
A big way you've been getting your name and character around and across is by your tour diary videos, which I absolutely love.
Thank you. Keep them
coming. It's absolutely hilarious. Make sure you follow him on Facebook, Sean Walker Wrestler, and at I Killed Your Hero on Twitter to see his tour diary, so make sure you do it.
I need those views. Hit him up.
It's no secret that you use those production skills to help out other talents and producers that are promos. And you've also used them skills on something that was produced with ourselves and Alexander Darren McCallum in the untimely demise of our host Stephen. What have been your personal favourite promos that you've worked on?
I mean, the ones I love working on are the ones where there's something different about them. Like the ones with Alexander Dower McCallum always seem more like a short horror film than anything else. He's always got, and this is, you know, one of the reasons I'm friends with him, he's always got an idea behind his promo to make it like visually interesting, to make what he says interesting well. You know, instead of just standing beside some bins like, let me tell you something, brother, he's a wrestler, I'm a wrestler, and I'm a better wrestler than him, but only by so much to keep it competitive, and I don't like you. Tell him, you know, I have no interest in those. I've seen them 1,000 times. They have a purpose, but I have no interest in filming that, because you can do that on your phone, you can do that. But when, like, Joe Coffey's one, his Killshot one, that was one I helped film. And again, he had a concept in mind. He had a narrative, he had interesting things to say. You made it visually interesting, so that's anything where I can mess about and create a vibe. Like, that had a certain vibe. He wanted it in black and white. He wanted that backing track. He wanted, you know, to kind of cut in and out with, like, quick shots of him, like, you know, two-sweet and stuff like that. And that was interesting. I'm like, oh, hey, this is going to be fun to put together. I'm going to do this. Same with Alexander Dower McCallum. His are fun to do. You know, he's going to carve something in someone's chest, or he's going to, like, I'm actually had a source with Renfrew, you know, where he dressed up to kind of mock him. That's interesting. Anything I can change angles, colour correct it so it feels like a horror film. Those are always my favourite ones to do, by far. Like, if someone, even if you offer me money and it's just going to be a basic, let me tell you something, here's my name, here's their name, here's what, it's boring. Anybody can do that.
Yeah.
Give me a story to film. Let me colour correct something. Let me look up like the noise filter, make it look like it's a VCR or something. Those are like my favourite things.
Yeah.
And that's why I did the Tour Diaries one, not to make it like a horror film, but I thought, what's different from, I'm going to be wrestling in Mount Vernon and I'm going to put the fist up because I look tough, and, you know, that's boring. Where I thought, how do I make this different? How do I make it stand out?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of rapper gimmick, so let's pretend I've gone on tour. I have gone on tour. Pretend? No, I'm going on tour, y'all.
Yeah.
I'm putting on shows, bitches, and, you know. And I just thought, that's a more interesting way to frame it. You know, film it like it's a documentary, so, you know, I can film it a different way, so I'm staring off camera. Obviously, I use a DSLR and I use the kind of microphone to kind of up the production values, but, I mean, even with a phone, you can do something.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I like with a KOE. You know, they use their phones in that, but they figure out how to tell a story and do something entertaining and interesting and different from what everybody else was doing. And it worked. Like the stuff they did for ICW going down, you know, the pub and stuff. It's fantastic. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Like, it was really good. So even if, like, I'm lucky that I do video stuff anyway, so I've got a certain level of equipment to make it look all pretty and have some nice depth of field, because I'm an nerd for that kind of thing.
Nice.
I've done, like, YouTube, and I've worked for other stuff as well. But even with a phone, just a bit of creativity and a bit of common sense, you can do something that looks good, but it's more interesting than just, let me tell you something. So those are the most interesting ones. Like I said, Alexander Darwin McCallum's one and the Joe Coffey one I did, by far, are two of the most interesting ones that I've done, and I've had the most fun filming.
And it's interesting you say that, because when we interviewed Mike K. Whiplash, he actually mentioned the Killshot promo in his interview, and he also mentions how a lot of, like, the people that he's training are doing a lot of work on, like, their promos and stuff. And that's really testament, because a lot of the, as you're saying, a lot of I've noticed a lot of the Source promos that people have been doing to promote the shows have got a different angle to them, and it's very captivating. Like, Alexander Dobrikal's always has you hooked. Always has you hooked.
And he's very careful with his words as well.
Yeah.
Which is a thing I like. I see a lot of, not just in promos, in films and TV, where someone says a line of dialogue, and you think, who talks like that? Like, you maybe see someone super angry for no reason in a promo, and you're like, do you talk like that in the post office? Like, you know. So I can, like, for my own stuff, it's almost like being a script doctor, thinking, right, I'm saying these things, I'm hitting all these things, but would I actually say that? Would a human being actually talk like that under any circumstances? So, and again, Alexander Darwin's, McCallum's, it's always grounded in reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's always grounded in, this is what his character would say, but it's also just what a human being would actually say. You know, like Zero, he's got a particular character that speaks, and you believe that he would speak in that way, because he does, and it haunts me.
Yes.
So a little bit of that as well, I think, goes a long way. And again, looking at it from a different angle, I think is a good way to stand out.
Fantastic. Now, I like all of that. Now, on to my last question on the main section.
Okay.
What's next for Sean Walker?
Well, funny you should ask us. We have a little something to announce.
Nice.
Which I did not tell you about before, so the surprise in his face is real, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
This is a kind of a, something cool, or I should be really worried. What is it? So, end of last year, I wrestled Manuel in the showcase.
Yes.
Came away with the win.
Yes.
A little bit later in Burnside, he choked me out. He put his hands in my mouth. I did not enjoy that. I did not consent to it. He did not wash that glove. And he won. I'm from the streets. I hold it down. The streets are mine.
Mm-hmm.
Manlin's homeless. So, at the showcase, I believe March the 17th, the day after our Lennox Town show, we're having a showcase in the Source Wrestling School. You've been to a few.
Yes.
Always worth checking out.
Mm-hmm.
We're having round three. Okay. No DQ. Battle for the streets.
Nice.
Me versus Manlin. Only rules are rules of the streets, baby. It's kind of like Game of Thrones. You either win or you don't win. I'm not going to kill him, obviously. But that's the very next thing you got to look forward to. Battle for the Streets, Source Wrestling School, March 17th, I believe. Nice. No DQ.
You gotta win them streets back.
I've gotta win them. These streets are mine.
They're yours.
I chose the street.
Yeah.
Thug Life happened to Manlin. He happened to be on the streets. I chose the streets. I took everything I can from the streets, with my clenched fist, the back of my goddamn hand. These streets are mine. Simple as that. Manlin's gonna learn that.
Rip him.
And again, if I gotta go no rules, if I gotta stomp him, if I gotta actually go proper street medieval on him, so be it. Cool. I'm down with that. You know I'm down with that. You grew up in the hood. You know it.
I know.
You know the kind of violence that Lindsay's seen.
Yeah.
But that's the next thing to look forward to. Battle for the streets. Be there. It's going to be an absolute war.
I look forward to it already.
Yeah. I don't think the Source Showcase has seen an ODQ. It's not going to see it. It's not seen a battle like this. It may never see a battle like this again.
Have you already got your weapon sorted? You know what you're going to use?
I am a weapon, yo.
That too. Your kicks are enough, really. Mama said knock you out.
Mama said knock you out. It ain't just a wonderful reference and a catchphrase.
Yeah.
It ain't just knowledge of 90s hip-hop and LL Cool J's not calling it a comeback. It's for real. It's legit, yo.
Yeah.
I'm going to knock him out. But I'm also going to do some horrible things to him first, because I am an awful person.
Sean Walker, thank you so much for taking the time
anytime.
Really appreciate it, my man.
Always happy to come back to the hood and represent.
Absolutely. But as you know, in true Eat Sleep Super
here we go.
We got our quick fire questions. So
street style, no filters, baby. Let's do this.
Are you ready?
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay. Rock or Austin?
Austin.
Trish or Lita?
Lita. Definitely Lita. I was a teenage goth growing up, so obviously Team Extreme. Jeff Hardy and Matt Hardy were two of the wrestlers I identified with growing up.
Exactly the same for me.
Well, everyone, kind of, you ask them, who's your favourite wrestler growing up, and they pick some obscure technical wrestler to look like they know. No, I liked the people I was like, you know.
Yeah.
I saw Gangrel and Abrud, and I was a teenage goth. I'm like, hey, they're a bit like me. I like them. Taka Michinoku, smaller guy, lots of martial arts. A bit like him. Steve Blackman does martial arts, smacks people with a stick. And then, you know, when they came out as Team Extreme, I had my baggy jeans or something, Marilyn Manson and Gordon Lundus getting all the rest. I'm a bit like them.
Yeah.
Definitely. And Lita was part of that, you know.
Yeah, fantastic. Cody or Omega?
I love Kenny Omega. I love his work. I love the little thing. I love the video game references. I love the sense of humour the man has in his matches. Obviously, Cody's done a wonderful body of work.
Yeah.
He's made himself an absolute icon. But when a guy comes out literally dressed like someone from Destiny or Final Fantasy, I can't argue with that. I love my video games. Although I love Cody's boots with the Zelda on them as well.
Yeah.
Allegedly, the guy replays Link to the Past every year.
Mm.
Can't argue with that.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's amazing the details that all these people and all, you know, like when you hear about all these wrestlers and stuff, the details that they put in.
Exactly.
And just to make it bring it all together. It's and interesting.
And I said, I've been hooked on video games ever since I saw Alex Kidd in Miracle World at my cousin's house around about 1989. Gotta love that.
Well, that next one hopefully won't be too much of a dilemma for you. Tupac or Notorious B.I.G.?
Oh, mother. It's like trying to choose between two fathers. I'm going to go for Tupac. California Love's just a tune.
Same. That's how
both wonderful lyricists, but that comes on in the club, you are up. And nobody going to sit down for that.
Absolutely. East side or west side?
Well, I do live in Glasgow's West End, so it's going to be West Side. We're on the West Coast as well.
Yeah.
You know, I've lived on the East Coast. I've lived in Aberdeen, coastal town.
Yeah.
I've lived in Glasgow. Yeah, I'm Glasgow.
West is best.
West is best.
West is best. Night in or night out?
Yeah, I'm 34. Night in. I like my Netflix and chill is actually just like Netflix and just chill. It's not a euphemism. Like, if I can just like watch my way through RuPaul's Drag Race, get a blanket on, get both my cats being kind of sooky, you know, have a nice in, maybe some tea. God, I love a night. I love being in my 30s. In your 20s, there's pressure to go out and do crazy stuff now. If someone says, oh, do you want to come out and do shots? I am 34. Absolutely goddamn not. I'm going to stay in, I'm going to play some Commodore 64 and go to bed. That's what I'm going to do.
It's the life, I like it.
I've got to keep it, you know.
Yeah.
I bought this Amiga off eBay and I'm going to use it.
Good man, good man. The next one, PlayStation or Xbox?
Oh, shit. I mean, right now I play on PC. So technically the answer is Steam. Historically, I mean, the timeline goes Commodore 64, so not one of the choices. Mm. Then my mum dropped a TV on it, so that was buggered. Sega Master System.
Okay.
Sega Mega Drive. Sony PlayStation. PlayStation 2, but then Xbox 360.
Oh.
So there's a little... So it kind of depends on the time period. I'm a big fan of the PlayStation 1 time period. Tony Hawk's 2 is one of my favourite games of all time. Metal Gear Solid as well is an absolute classic. So I've got... I think I've got more affection for the PlayStation 1 period than I do for the Xbox and the Xbox 360 period. So of the two, I would say PlayStation. If you ask me what I'm playing on right now, it's PC. If you ask what my heart says, it says Sega.
You can tell you're such a gamer because I've asked so many people that question and you're by far and away gone in the most depth
Oh god, I could go on for days. A bit like the merits of like 8-bit Sonic the Hedgehog versus 16-bit Sonic the Hedgehog. Wow. You know how they ported Mortal Kombat to the Master System and you go, how did you do it? You know, the sort of fear of missing out when you've got one console and not got any other.
I do have a Nintendo 64 and I love
Man.
It. I love it.
That's part of the reason I collect old consoles is like, obviously growing up, you've kind of got one or the other unless your parents are super rich and in which case, go fuck yourself. But that we're going to have to bleep out, but I mean what I said. I stand by that. So I love kind of going back and seeing what games I didn't play at the time. Like when I lived through in Fife, I had a Sega Master System, but the Amiga was dead popular.
Yeah.
And being able to get one and go, what was everyone else playing day to day and playing Street Fighter 2 and Amiga and going, God, this is a terrible port. And, you know, just going back and seeing what you missed out on is like an amazing process. So we're a Sega household growing up, but now we can go back, buy a SNES, buy an N64, you know, all the rest of it. I miss my GameCube, but I'm the only guy I know that's got a Wii U, put it that way.
Okay.
We had it at the wedding as well.
Oh.
Yeah, Mario Kart. 4-player Mario Kart at my wedding. So I figured if I'm going to get married, someone else's relationship's going to go down the toilet. So...
That's incredible.
You know what? Zero's an absolute fiend at Mario Kart.
Oh, really?
Like, he will choke you out, he will creep you out, but he will destroy you at Mario Kart. Undefeated at the wedding. He was at the wedding, undefeated at Mario Kart 8.
Really?
Bloody hell, he's a prodigy at that.
So I only played the N64 version.
Mario Kart 8's really good. It's like it's constructed out of joy itself. It's amazing. That's the one we're playing. Zero will destroy you at it. No doubt. I didn't even hold a candle to the guy and I'm alright, you know. So it's a little bit of knowledge for you there. Zero will maim you at Mario Kart. Wow. And in real life, but specifically we're talking Mario Kart here.
Yeah. I'd rather he maim me at Mario Kart than actually choke me out, to be honest.
I mean, he might do both, but like, he'll do one than the other. Like.
Yeah. So if you're playing Mario Kart against him, don't win. You can't win anyway. But
No, he will beat you legitimately, but just like carry a taser as well.
Just in case.
It's better safe than sorry is what I'm saying.
True that. Now my next one, what's your favourite wrestling game?
Favourite wrestling game? Oh, that's a tough one. That's a really tough one because it's a lot that I've played and then gone back that I enjoyed at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the wrestling game's actually evolved so much since... I think WrestleMania Challenge was the first one I played on the NES.
Okay.
And it's terrible. It's not, by today's standards, it's not aged particularly. Yeah. It's nice going through the roster and hearing 8-bit renditions of the music. Like, obviously I had Warzone and Attitude on the PlayStation as I had it, which were fun at the time, and it was really cool. There's a lot of, at that age, a lot of wish fulfillment. You make yourself your entrance, you wrestle Triple H, wrestle The Undertaker, and all the rest of it. Warzone and Attitude were terrible games.
Okay.
We didn't know any better until the SmackDown games came along.
Yeah.
Again, PS1 era, I really enjoyed the SmackDown and SmackDown 2.
Yeah, they were
like,
good.
The character creation was good. They were a lot of fun to play. The entrances looked good. I don't actually... This is going to sound like sacrilege. I didn't enjoy the last couple of WWE games.
The 2K games.
I get what they're trying to do in terms of making it as close to what you see on TV as possible. But sometimes I almost feel like it's trying to tell me how to play it, or it's almost like it's taking control away from me. And I'm like, no, if I want to do this, even if it makes no sense, I'm going to do it.
I got bored quickly yeah. with 2K18. I'm not going to lie. I got bored too quickly.
It's not even it's objectively bad. I'm not saying it's a bad game, far from it. But I was just kind of playing it going, when do I get to play it?
Yeah.
When does it stop interrupting me? When do I get a shot of this? So my favourite one, obviously I've got affection for the PS1 era. But, you know, No Mercy, WrestleMania 2000 on the N64, I think are your quintessential wrestling games. I think they're the best wrestling games, the best system for putting together a wrestling game that feels like what you see in TV, but it's fun to play at the same time. I think, without a doubt, those are the best and have not been bettered. That N64, WCW, you know, No Mercy in WrestleMania 2000.
I do have No Mercy on the N64.
My man!
I do have it. Again, you went really in-depth into that question. I liked it. I
love my game.
What is your favourite wrestling pay-per-view?
The one that's my favourite is King of the Ring 98.
Nice.
It was the first one I ever got on VHS. So, obviously, we're not really taped off Sky, but that was the first one I bought on VHS.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, everyone remembers throwing Mankind off the cell.
Yeah.
And it's an iconic moment, and it's even more iconic when you've got it on video, so the minute he hits, you can hit rewind and watch him bounce back up. And it's got a wonderful rhythm to it. But there's a lot of good stuff from start to finish on that pay-per-view. There's a lot of really nice stuff. The story they told with, you know, like the eventual kind of winner, you know, D'Lo hitting with the chest protector. God, D'Lo Brown was underrated. Every time I see him, I can think, we didn't deserve D'Lo Brown. He was wonderful. That's my favourite one, I think. Partially for just affection of, oh, it's what I had as a kid.
And
I watched it and I wore the tape out. I'm sure I've still got it at my mum and dad's house, so I can go check after this.
Yeah.
But that one, for nostalgic reasons.
Get it now that you're on the subject.
Yeah, but it was a wonderful pay-per-view from start to finish. There was very little, like, you know, Al Snow getting in the head and the head and shoulders bottle and the pinning, which made me laugh. You know, Jerry Lawler not acknowledging the sadly late Brian Christopher. You know, there was a lot of good moments. You've got X-Pac versus Owen Hart going to absolute war, you know, throwing shit in the tank. There's so much good stuff. You know, Kai and Tai before Taka joined, you know, Taka having a Headbangers t-shirt on and slam dunk. There's so much good stuff wrestling and character-wise. It's a wonderful pay-per-view start to finish, I think, and I love it.
Fantastic. What is your favourite venue you've wrestled at?
That's a hard one. I've got a lot of affection for the school, obviously.
Yeah.
I like Mount Vernon. It's got that domed roof.
Oh, nice, yeah.
I always wanted to play a dome, y'all. Now I've done it.
There you go, Mount Vernon fun. Dome.
Lennoxtown, obviously, we always get a wonderful reaction there.
Yeah.
They're a really lovely crowd. Govan, that crowd go absolutely insane.
If you've not been to a Source Govan show,
oh, it's wild. You have to
go. You absolutely.
I'm not just saying that because I have to. You need to go. Like,
it's the perfect venue for any heel because they proper react to you.
But one of my favourite ones was actually, so I debuted in the school. A week later, there was a spot open. Like, my wife was wrestling up at W3L up in Portree in Skye, and there was a spot open if someone could drive, and I didn't want to take a spot away from someone who'd been wrestling longer than a week, you know. But the spot was, I said, look, can I fill it? And turns out, yeah. So I drove up all the way up to Portree in the Isle of Skye, and it's like kind of high up in the Isle of Skye, so it's north.
Mm-hmm.
And that crowd were really into it. Like, it drew an amazing crowd, like full up, and they were so into it. And I'm a week in, I'm still nervous going, do I remember my match? But at the same time, I hadn't got the Sean Walker character in yet, but I was still loud and obnoxious and vocal. And it was great. Like, I just came out going, I drove for 5 hours! What are you? You're like a hobbit! You know, just shouting random crap. The crowd were really into the whole thing.
Yeah.
So much fun. I mean, in ways it was like being in the 90s, because my parents liked to holiday up north in the 90s and there was no phone reception, so I was like, God, it's at 93. It just got that because the crowd was so good there.
Yeah,
and it was a fun show, and it was Kevin Williams wrestled up there, and again he was
okay
because I was so nervous and inexperienced, and oh god, we're not going to do a wrestle. You know, he was really good. He brought me through that match. He was really good with me as well. I can't say enough nice things about the man.
Nice.
He's doing a lot of gaming stuff as well. He's got he's got his gaming stuff, his kind of retro expos up in Dundee. He's doing like stall holders and tournaments and stuff. I think they're doing really well. I need to make it up to him at some point, but they're in Dundee and my car's a piece of crap, so I don't know if I'm going to get home. So that was, I think, one of the fun ones as well. I'd love to wrestle up north again just for funsies.
Yeah, good stuff. What's your favourite tag team apart from Thug Life or KOE?
Apart from Thug Life or KOE, God.
Notice I had to add that in.
Of course. They're always going to be in my heart. Mm-hmm. Like I said, I love the Hardy Boys and they were Team Extreme.
Same
again, because I was looking. One, they did some amazing stuff. I loved Edge and Christian when they were in the Broods, because again, kind of that gothic, you know, and I was getting into like London.
Their flame entrance was just
never bettered. I loved that flame entrance. It was so cool. Like, even if looking back, if you think, oh, it's a bit Twilight. No, that entrance was cool.
Yeah. It's just cool. Oh.
The theme tune, even the production on the snare drum, I can go into and like, that sounds banging. Yeah. Like, so I loved that whole, you know, those the holy trinity of that era, I guess. You've got the Hardys, you've got Edge and Christian, and you've got the Dudley Boys. Loved all of them. Loved the Headbangers, because again, metalheads. I'm a metalhead at heart. You know, hip-hop as well, forever, you know, for life. But,
yeah,
you know, I've been a lifelong metalhead as well, going from, like, you know, even alt stuff like Garbage to, like, Killswitch Engage, Metallica. I was listening to Megadeth in the way here.
Nice. Okay, yeah.
Parkway Drive are absolutely killing it right now. God, I could go on for ages. The amount of bands I've seen. Weirdly, I went to a gig with a couple other wrestlers, I won't name names, and it was Deftones. And I'm in my 30s, you know, like the wrestlers in the late 20s. And we're right in the crowd again, yelling, shoving, and then, you know, right in the pit. And then we're all looking, going, is this easier than when we were in our 20s? Like, we're somehow in our 30s, fitter and stronger and better mosh pit equipped than we were. Like, yeah, like, I feel like it's easier to keep my arms out, keep a bit of space, and like, shove someone, have a bit of pit time, you know? It's like, this is easier than it was.
I mean, I've been to a gig recently where we were in a circle pit, and I was like, this isn't like, I was like,
what was it?
Oh, this was, last time I was there was Newfound Glory.
Oh, wonderful. I'd love to see Newfound Glory.
They're an amazing band.
I'd love to see them.
For real, they say that Glasgow's their favorite. Like, you know how they always say, oh, this is my favorite. Looks down at the hand. Glasgow. But the Newfound Glory love Glasgow. Mm. It's their proper, their favourite venue.
Oh, God,
so whenever they're in the UK, and they particularly like Barrowlands, especially.
Seeing Slipknot there was amazing.
Yeah.
It was a secret show they were doing before Download Run about the third album.
Okay.
But so Slipknot, when they could have sold out an arena, doing the Barrowlands, Christ, that was amazing.
Yeah. I like that intimate type feel.
It was intimate. I made friends in Cuba having a Sega Game Gear. It was, you know, well, I was going myself. Well, but yeah, I just started playing Sonic 2 and you got people going, is that a Game Gear? You goddamn right, it's a Game Gear. Sunlight instant pals.
There you
great.
Go. There you go. Mate.
That's a hint for you. Bring a Game Gear to a gig, you'll make pals.
I love it.
Get on eBay for that.
What's your biggest inspiration?
Oh, God. Biggest inspiration?
Yeah.
In some ways, it's, you know, the wonderful Jayla Dark. It's my wife. She's been endlessly patient with my bullshit. people sometimes ask me, and I think maybe it's a gender thing, they kind of go, oh, is it weird that, you know, so experienced and so much better than you? I'm like, it's awesome. Imagine having someone to bounce terrible ideas off that is legally required to be somewhat patient with my bullshit. It's like, she's been, you know, Mikey Whiplash is a trailer, Damien O'Connor before, you know, when he was taking the school, gave me an amazing set of fundamentals.
Yeah.
Mikey Whiplash has been very supportive of this character, almost too supportive, as if he's finding it far too funny.
Oh, no, but, he loves it.
But he's been really supportive of that. Yeah. He's been a big influence. It's a weird one. Like I said, everyone asks, what's your favourite wrestler? And they all want to say someone from Japan, or like, I was into Daniel Bryan when he was on the indies. I was trading ECW tapes when I was four, or like, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, my biggest inspirations were the ones I mentioned. Steve Blackman was a huge inspiration for me, because he came out and he battered people because he was a badass.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, the Broods flaming entrance was a big influence on me, going, that's cool, how do I be that cool? You know, that kind of thing. Like, you know, Taka Michinoku doing all the kind of martial arts stuff. Like, Tajiri as well, doing all the kind of cool stuff that he does. All those little things that I kind of saw bits of myself in as, like, a 15 or 16-year-old are probably my biggest influences.
Yeah.
But, like, someone saying, try a fake accent. That unlocked something, and having that fake accent made it easier to make the rest of the character bigger.
Mm-hmm.
So to speak. Jimmy Havoc did a really good seminar where it was based on character stuff, and he would say things like, you know, do this, but as a cowboy, like really broad strokes, like cowboy, policeman, astronaut.
Yeah.
And I did it as Elmo.
As you do.
I'd love to wrestle as Elmo. That'd be great. Put on the first suit. Like,
ah, you're going down.
You know, as much as my voice will do the high pitch, like
that's absolutely, you know, scary how good that was. Oh my god.
You know, the evil Mickey Mouse thing going on. But doing that and just having that freedom, just going, I'm a wrestler as Elmo, I'm going to wrestle as a cowboy,
yeah,
mentally unlocked something which was an inspiration into what I do now. So it's weird to like pick one biggest one. It was lots of little different things that come in, and it still happens. I'll see something that makes me think in a different way, and that just opens a new, I guess, neural pathway, so to speak.
Yeah.
You know, that makes you think, I never thought about it this way. I can go, even just someone wording something slightly different can open up an entirely new train of thought that no one's ever had. That's usually the biggest influence, just some little thing. Like that line we talked about earlier, I'm white and I'm ginger. That was a throwaway line, but it got that reaction. And
yeah.
It made me think, okay. At the same time, I've tried some big comedy things that didn't quite work. But then if someone puts me a wrist up, I'm like, ah, damn, man, I didn't do nothing. You know, something small.
Yeah.
Would get a bigger reaction. It made me think, right, don't do the big, just let your character speak for itself.
Yeah.
And again, everything's a testing of the waters. You know, I'm still like a wrestle fetus, you know, like I don't know nothing really, but just trying things out and going, that didn't work, maybe that'll work. And just these little things all become an inspiration and a kind of iterative process in what I end up doing.
Mm-hmm.
All the stupid things I end up doing.
Right, well, I'm going to apologise for this next one. It is, what is your favourite wrestler?
What is my favourite? It's difficult to pick a favourite. It's like, if you ask me my favourite band, it'll change every week. Same with my favourite wrestler. If I'm watching old stuff, it's like Matt and Jeff Hardy, especially Jeff Hardy. At the same time, probably Steve Blackman.
Yeah.
You know, my answer to everything could just be Steve Blackman. Please come back, Steve Blackman. I was like a junior black belt. What he did really resonated with me. Like, going, seeing the guy come out, he's a legit martial artist, he's a cool badass, and seeing him do things that I can recognise, like, I can do that kick, I can do that. So in many ways, growing up, Steve Blackman was my favourite.
Yeah.
And then he started hitting people with bins. Who doesn't love that?
Yeah.
At the same time, I could say, if you take WrestleMania 25, it's 24, the Ric Flair retirement match with Shawn Michaels, for that night, those two were my favourite wrestler, because that match, it's 24, that match was beyond amazing. So for that night, those were my favourite wrestlers. Some nights, you know, on a showcase, somebody will say something really funny. That night, they're my favourite wrestler. The Fierce Females. That, you know, the venue I really want to wrestle in is The Shed, because the Fierce Females shows are off the chain.
Oh, yeah.
If you're not going to those, go to those.
Absolutely.
Some of the wrestling, all the things you talk about, those girls are killing it. Just, it's not even me. Well, I think, like, just, if I paid my money as a fan and didn't know nothing, I would say they're killing it.
I'm a regular, so that is one of my three regulars. So.
But like the bins match that happened between Joe Kane and Debbie Keitel, that night they were my favourite wrestler, because that match was hilarious but amazing at the same time. A lot of the time, if you look at the Fierce Women show before, Jayla, Dark, Addie Starr, that night they were my favourite wrestlers, because that match was not just because Jayla Dark is my wife, but just objectively, I was filming it. I'm watching, going, how do I do that? I want to wrestle like that. That match was off the chain.
Yeah.
So it changes. So Steve Blackman, let's just say Steve Blackman.
Steve Blackman.
Steve Blackman and my wife. There we go.
Who would be your dream opponent?
Apart from Shug.
Well, you've ticked that off.
I've ticked that off, but I'll happily tick that box again. I'd love to wrestle Steve Blackman, obviously.
Yeah.
I am a god. I'm looking forward to wrestling Manlin. I was a lot of whoever I can have fun with. I have a lot of fun with Scott McManus when I'm wrestling him.
Yeah.
We just, you know, we get along. I mean, we don't get along, but you know, when we wrestle, it's always a lot of fun. Again, I'd love to wrestle Steve Blackman, because just of the people I admired growing up, it's going to be the same answer and over again. I'd love to wrestle Jeff Hardy. I'd love to wrestle Aleister Black, because again, his kicks look amazing.
Yeah.
Like, brutal, and you know, he's got such...
Yeah, it's like kickboxer background.
He does, and he's got such a mind for it. You know, everything he does looks amazing. Everything he does moving around, the way he carries himself, like an absolute killer. That would be so much fun.
Yeah.
But I want to wrestle Street Profits as well, because that's so much fun in a different way.
My man.
My boys.
I love the Street Profits.
Everything they do is so entertaining.
Yeah.
It's so good. Like, I'd love to wrestle them as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, well, absolutely.
It's a big list.
You know. It's a really good list of that.
And Steve Blackman's right at the top, obviously.
Yeah.
Please come back. Please come back. Hashtag please come back, Steve Blackman.
What's your favourite tattoo?
Most of my wife's. Yeah. I don't have any, but my wife has some amazing work done. I think the most recent done is the Comedian Studios.
Right.
Like, no, there was one that she got done before her wedding. It's a kind of inner forearm tattoo, which is really nice. She's got a really good Darth Vader tattoo, which if you turn up to Fierce Female shows, you'll get to see. So buy a ticket for Fierce Females and watch some good wrestling and see some good tattoos. But
there you go.
No, I love my wife's Darth Vader tattoo. It's a kind of Mexican Day of the Dead style thing with Darth Vader's face and Honor Thy Father, which obviously is funny. And the two of us are huge Star Wars nerds. Like, we all love video games.
You can't actually
see
it in like her gear that she wears. You can see that influence.
Oh yeah, but we both, so obviously that's quite cool as well. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we went to Disneyland on our honeymoon and spent most of it going on Space Mountain and Star Tours. I had to try and fit a lightsaber into our bag to get it home. It fit diagonally, but it bent, so for a while it had a weird phallic kind of kink to it until we straightened it out.
Okay.
We had to get Yoda's one because it was the smallest, you know, to fit it in. Like, video games and Star Wars are things I will go on. And for, you know, I'm Mr. Dark. She's not Mrs. Walker, let's be honest. I'm Mr. Dark. Like, those are things we'll go on. So
it could be Mr. Dark Walker.
Hey! And it won't go into kind of Blade kind of area. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to wrestle Blade. That's one of them. I want to wrestle Wesley Snipes.
Is that another?
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Until he stabbed me with a sword and I died.
Okay, and finally, Kai Williams King or King Killer?
You can't make me choose. We're down. KOA stands for unity. Unity and loyalty. That's what KOA stands for. We can't choose. We are one. We are a unit. 3-on-3 with your famous KOA. That's how it goes. Can't choose. No, they're both, like I said earlier, they're both brilliant, athletic, creative people. Like,
yeah.
They're both amazing to work with. I can't choose between them.
That's fair enough.
Like, you can't ask me to do that. It's like asking Sega or Nintendo, I'll just have a panic attack and cry.
I'm sure they'll appreciate that. Sean Walker, thank you so much for joining me today. Just to make sure that you follow Sean on Facebook, if you just search Sean Walker Wrestler, he's also on Twitter at I Killed Your Hero.
I'm on Twitter far too much, it's true. if you come at me, I will respond, so please do.
Anything else coming out that you want to maybe mention? Is there anything?
Just the big thing, Battle for the Streets.
Battle for the Streets.
And Manglin. That's the thing that's coming up. It's the thing I'm looking forward to. Get your tickets. Get to the source right. If you've not been to a showcase, you see some amazing... Like, we had Jordan Devlin at the tournament, for example.
Absolutely.
The tournament... You know, Mike Bird was at the tournament. We had so much good stuff. You know, the Hunter
and
Brothers.
Sugar Dunkerton.
And Shug.
Come on there right now.
That was, like, my favourite match so far has been with Shug. And that was at a showcase. That was at our tournament. So, if you think you're going to miss out by coming to a showcase, you are not going to miss out. I can't emphasise that. And again, Battle for the Streets is happening at the showcase. If you want to see some no DQ action from me and Manlin, that's where you're going to see it. Buy a goddamn ticket. You're going to get the evil side of my pimp hand.
There you go. Search for Source Wrestlers Guild on Facebook, Twitter, and also on Instagram, I believe now.
On Instagram, but yeah.
So
killing it on that one.
Get yourself to a show. Come and see Sean Walker. See the absolute delight that is Sean Walker.
Please come and see Sean Walker.
For now, Sean, thank you very much for joining
and me. I've been looking forward to this for so long. It's been
I'm glad we finally got you.
Finally, we did it. You gonna keep the hood on lockdown? I'm gonna come and check in periodically. You gotta go on holiday. I'm gonna hold it down.
Yeah,
for you, you know.
We gotta hold it down, baby.
We got a spreadsheet. We can, you know, check dates. Holding down the hood, it's a big amount of admin.
It's a lot of admin. It's a tough job.
That's the real respect for gangsters. Everyone's like, oh, I got shot 9 times. Yeah, well, I got a Google Drive spreadsheet. It takes a lot of work to keep this ring going, you know. Admin is gangster, baby.
Sean, thank you very much.
Anytime, thank you for having me. Always good.
Pow.
No one saw the handshake we just did, man. You missed out.
Listen, c***s, I don't care what the f*** you think you're doing. Whatever you think is more important with your life, you honking bag of tips. You know what you should be doing? You should be going online, you should be subscribing, you should be listening to the back catalogue of Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet, whatever the fuck you're doing, that's what you should be doing. I don't care if it's your mum's birthday, I don't care if she's feeling contractions, get on it right now!
Sports Social Podcast Network.